still move on.
I don't care if it's 20 years old.
Town of Monroe, planning board meeting, Monday, May 16th, 7:01 p.m.
It's time to start our agenda for our May 16th, 2022 meeting of the Town of Monroe Planning Board. Start out with 7 minutes that we have. Everybody should have had opportunity, but I'll give you a chance to address it for November 22nd, 2021. I've already spoken with Katrina, let her know she's done a very nice job of capturing my disjointed speaking style.
I do some just type edits.
Okay.
So, nothing.
Anybody else have anything for the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the November 22nd meeting minutes as well.
Okay, your motion. Do we have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Motion by Erica, second by Andrew. Is there any discussion? Nothing controversial. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Myself.
We're still good. We got them all.
Yep. Carol.
Okay. I also handed in a couple. And I'm going to miss. I know we already approved them, but I have a couple more too in that same section. So I told you I would hand that one to you. They're just small typos. Moving along then, next item on our agenda, under old business, project name is All Town Fresh Convenient Mart. So we get named Greg Petroleum, do we have one of those?
Good evening, I'm Joshua O'Connor, professional engineer in the state of New York, and the employee of Green & Peterson Incorporated, representing Global Partners on the All Town Fresh project. How's everybody doing? Pursuant to our last meeting, which was 2 months ago, the board noted that prior to seeking a final approval, we needed to address some outstanding comments from your traffic consultant, Creighton Manning, and that we needed to circulate the plans and get a response from the fire chief for South Glens Falls Fire Department. Both of those have been completed affirmatively. We did get a letter back from Creighton Manning just today, saying that they have no further issue with the plan as presented, and there were no comments from Mr. Corley with the fire department, who took no issue with the plan as presented either. So, considering that our seeker neg deck has been, completed already, we're here to formally ask for an approval for the project, so they can get to work out there. Does the board have any questions about the materials that were submitted in response to Creighton Manning or any of the other outstanding items as you see them?
So you are going to do a sidewalk?
There is a sidewalk on the plan, yes.
Okay. Did you put those barriers up that are there? There's like
They're preparing the site for construction in that. But yeah, the barrels are essentially on the project.
Probably good.
It's just to get people accustomed to the idea.
Yeah. What is your construction schedule?
It's going to start immediately. We're actually pending delivery of fuel tanks already. And the duration is probably about a year, right?
Probably it'll be December for completion.
December for completion.
I was looking at your plans. Obviously, you probably take the buildings down. You have to remove the old tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Say we had another event that we just had 2 hours ago with the drainage. Do you think once you pull the pavement up, it'll improve it immediately?
Yeah, immediately. The soil, once you get down below that old tired top layer that hasn't been scraped off for the past 50 years, it drains phenomenally well.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking about construction phase and this little drain.
Yeah, there will be a temporary sedimentation basin.
Okay.
It's general practice for something like that. Just the drainage has to go somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to stranded by now.
Yeah, it's currently flooded. It was flooded before the rain started.
Yeah, so I just just wanted to make sure that that step, because you're going to be implemented no matter what, but
right.
just when this happens.
Yeah, so we didn't have to do a formal switch for this, so that plan, you know, we don't have a documentation of that plan.
Yeah.
Part of the generation of that big document, but it's still a best practice and it's still what we would do on the site.
Okay, and are you going to keep that fence on the side of Lamplighter?
Yes. The Lamplighter Estates people believe that to be their fence and they installed it.
Okay.
It is actually on our property. We're tying into the end of it with a larger privacy fence that will kind of go along the back and take the turn,
yeah.
Then reduce in size and meet that fence.
No, because I was thinking of people walking up to get to your store, but they don't
want
to walk out.
They when we spoke to the folks at Lamplighter Estates, they felt strongly that it was their fence, and they asked that we not take it down. So
yeah.
There's no point in not being good neighbors.
No.
They feel strongly when it's their sign as well. So.
All right, I have nothing further.
Thank you.
When we do the entrance ways, you know, on the north end, we talked about going in and out and only a right-hand turn coming out.
DOT rejected that.
They did?
Yes, so we're still signed for a truck entrance on the north end.
Okay.
So it's signed for trucks to enter and exit on the opposing side. So as you're looking at the site, enter on the left, exit. Enter on the right, exit on the left. And it's signed that way for trucks. But DOT wouldn't allow us to do one-way entrance, one-way exit for all traffic. It was a response to one of their comments in review. They had me pull the labels off the plan.
Really?
It's their road.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I'm just...
Yeah. That's
so weird. They can exit from both entrances?
Yes. I mean, the site is generally going to have a counterclock rotation. It naturally flows well that way.
Yeah.
You know, passenger vehicles will have the option for both. But for trucks, no. We're able to limit that ourselves. I mean, trucks can only proceed around the site in a counterclockwise direction. You can't enter the fuel pumps.
Okay, so it's just cars that will be able
yes,
to use both.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right. Can we
be able to see that? Yeah, no. I mean, we want the permit. So
yeah.
we give them what they ask for.
I'm just concerned about that left-hand turn with that truck turning in. You know, if the truck's turning in going north and taking a left-hand turn, and now you got a truck or a car trying to take a right and head north.
Yeah.
That's a big concern.
We hope that they'll be able to navigate it. It's a pretty common configuration, you know, two entrances like that. It's pretty standard for commercial retail development. I think people are pretty accustomed to that. The other thing is, as people pull up to that north exit to exit, if they see there's a vehicle blocking it, they have ample time to make a turn, go past the pumps, and come out the other entrance as well. And I think there's an opportunity there for people to make a critical choice if the traffic presents a problem for them.
Oddly, my human behavior down in Valero, or whatever it is, I think it's Axon now, I remember sitting in there one day waiting for a friend, and there's no signage that says you have to enter or exit in one of those two entrances they have there.
Yep.
And yet, I'm going to see it 95% of everybody went in the right-hand side and came out the other way. It's just natural. And I think the other ones were probably from Britain or something. They came in the other way. It's natural for people to want to go right.
Well, the benefit here, you know, as far as traffic flow is considered, you know, look, the bulk of our draw for trips are locals. And people learn and understand where the best, you know, you don't want to exit closer to Lamplighter Lane. You know, and I think that, you know, people learn those things pretty quickly.
Yeah, locals know the traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, what you've done is reduce the access to Route 9 by about 50% maintenance.
It's controlled now, either.
Right now, it's controlled. It's just the Wild West. Yeah.
And you're going to take all the water off of Route 9 as well.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Stop all that flooding in the spring.
That's the plan.
Anything else for anything? Jim, where are we at status-wise with this? I know we have Seeker Neg Deck.
Yep, we have Seeker Neg Deck.
Everybody?
I didn't get any comments back.
Okay.
And the public hearing's been held. Josh went through the checklist. That's the same one I had. I've also outstanding items. I mean, I don't see where there's anything else.
Oh, one other thing on traffic. Did I see at one point that there was a left-hand turn recommended or left-hand
turn? Oh, we did that, and I talked about it at the last meeting. Sorry,
yeah,
just
I think
to
you did.
Yes.
So there is going to be a left-hand turn.
We are making striping changes.
Yeah.
So there will be, and it won't be a left turn lane. It's a bi-directional turn lane. And that'll be extended right up to the Lamplighter Estates driveway.
Okay.
And then the taper will continue past that driveway.
Good. That's an improvement even for Lamplighter?
Yes, I think so. And Tom felt strongly that was a benefit to, you know, we try to avoid making changes to the highway when possible. It's permitting problems. Sometimes you have to do paving work. It's DOT, so, you know, getting them on board with it can be problematic. But they felt that it was a benefit to half the lane. So there was no point in swimming upstream against it. The striping is now shown on the plan, at least the portion of it that appears within the frame of our site plan. It is shown. There is a note on the plan referencing the DOT work plans and conformance with the permit that we have to pull from DOT. And that's obviously to the benefit of our, the construction. We do have all those work plans ready to submit to DOT. We're waiting for a final estimate for that work in the roadway before we can actually pull the permit, because that sets your fee. So, but we're ready to pull that as well.
Anything else from anybody? Hearing nothing. Would anybody like to do something at this point? Make a motion of some kind.
Sure. Make a motion to grant site plan approval for All Town Fresh Method at 1401 US 1.
I'll take a motion on the floor. Is there a second for that?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, can you please roll call roll on that?
Mark Schaefer?
Yes.
Ann Perdue?
Yes.
Eric Berman?
Yes.
Adam Siebel?
Yes.
Meredith Matthias?
Yes.
John Arnold?
Yes. And that is unanimous. In that case, is there anything else we'd like to do?
We have a motion for the chairman and one of the member of the board to sign the bylaws.
Okay, motion to have the chairman and one other member sign the Mylar presented to the building department. And the
applicant's like a bold staff.
I like that.
I
was thinking, should I come up with just one little
you would see Mr. O'Connor taking out his black pen.
What a podcast.
Okay, so with that in mind, make a motion for Mayor. We have a second for Ms. Chairman and one of the members signing the Mylar.
Second
for Mr. Siebel. That was not in time. Virtual, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing no opposition and having six ayes, I would say that we come to the end of this.
It's been a real pleasure for the past year.
Great things that make us proud, right?
Yes, and I hope to be back for something else, unrelated to this project.
Well, thank you. See, that was simple. Nobody got hurt.
Jim, we'll pick the plans up with a building permit.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
So I was remiss in the beginning on that, put onto the record that our normal, wonderful, and amazing chairman is not here this evening because of health reasons. So I am sitting in interim as chairman for the evening.
In your name, sir?
Chairman, at the moment, interim chairman, John Arnold. All right, moving right along. Our next item on our agenda is Baker Falls Solar, LLC. The site plan review in its final stages. Do we have one of those?
Katrina, for the record, I have to refuse myself from this because I need to have 4 seconds.
For the record, you still have a quorum. You need to have the people, so. We can move on.
Sounds great. Thank you. Michael Cucciera from Nexamp, representing Baker Falls Solar, and Anna Rader from EDP.
Liza Sheps from NextAmp as well. When we last met, we had a we asked for a vote. We did not have the votes to approve site plan approval for the 2.5 megawatt AC Bakers Falls Solar Project located at 1115 Electric Drive in the Moreau Industrial Park. The key feedback to us was we needed to get in front of the town board and walk through with them the decommissioning plan and bond and get approval. We did that on May 10th. There was a resolution, I think, that was sent to Jim Martin to the planning board, basically agreeing to the decommissioning plan and bond amount as well as the bond form. We also, through multiple conversations with attorney Buettner, Carl Buettner, we were able to, and I should say the highway superintendent, get agreement that NextAmp would be allowed to both construct the paper street, the electric drive paper street, up to town specifications, and that once that is completed, it would be a public right-of-way without need for any easements from the town. So that opinion letter is forthcoming. I know Carla had sent an email to this group as well stating that, you know, the position of her and the town board. So, you know, we're here tonight. We brought our plans just in case there were any questions. I think really what we would be seeking is a vote for site plan approval on this project and hopefully get out of your hair for a little while. It's been good working with you guys, so thanks for your consideration.
We're not done yet, Steve. I want to save that.
Oh, no, I know.
Of course.
Are you talking a public right-of-way, or is it going to be a public town road?
It will be a public town road once opened and built.
Okay, so are we going to name the road?
I believe it already has its name, Electric Drive.
Okay, Electric Drive, and it's going to be accepted by the town, and the town's going to plow it.
Yeah, there's an email about that today.
Oh, I didn't get it. Okay, very good.
Yep, that is the case. We had the highway superintendent come out, met with Liza and EDP on site, walked through it. We've revised, you know, the plans to reflect, you know, all those conversations.
Okay.
I forwarded Paul's sign off a few weeks ago, I think.
Okay.
He signed off.
Is it, so it's going to be full road, it's going to be right to top coat?
I didn't speak to this. So it's right now in its current state, it is paper street.
Yes.
So what we're doing is we're coming in and building the road up to town standard,
okay,
up until the top binder course and
okay,
wearing course. So it's
okay,
going to be a 28-foot wide gravel, 12-inch gravel subbase.
Okay.
And that's where we stop for the majority of the road, with the exception for the first 25 feet off of Farnon Road.
Okay.
I thought I read that it was accepted under the proviso that it's only for your use for now.
Once it's completed, once construction's completed, it's a public right of way.
Okay.
So that's why I was asking, because the way I was understanding is it was going to be basically constructed to the road, but it wasn't going to be finished. All right, and then I thought, okay, so it must be it's just for you guys for now, but then I read an email that said it was going to be available for use for other people too. So that's why I wondered if maybe I misunderstood whether it was going to be finished to full spec. So
is the road going to be done before the project?
Yes, has to be.
Okay.
For us to access the site.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's also your construction road.
Yeah. So just give you a little context, I think what we're looking at, hopefully, if we secure approvals, is to begin that construction this fall after the back clearing window ceases on November 1st. And the idea would be, first up, to be going and clear a portion of this electric drive needs to be cleared of trees in our site. And then, road construction would follow right after that.
What was the final determination on your crossing the National Grid right-of-way?
So we,
is that an easement? Is it a right-of-way? Is it
good question. So we have received technical approval and a license from National Grid. We are working through that license language to make sure that we have the appropriate agreement in place that we need for financing. So we're just in those negotiations right now. Technically, we have the ability to cross in that letter, but we're working through the finer points to make sure it works for us as well as National Grid. But likely it will take the form of an easement is what we're really trying to secure.
Now that location, is that National Grid property? Or
it
is that easement for them too?
Yeah, it's National Grid property.
It's owned in fee by the utility.
I ask that because we've had numerous people say, well, I'll need to get an easement from National Grid, and I hadn't heard of any who actually had yet. So that's why I was wondering if they did, if there was a reason why you're going to be so quick.
Yep. No, well, we started the process quite a long time ago, so it's been in the works.
Okay.
But there is still some final negotiation, but it's really more around legal language than the technical ability.
The fence all the way around it.
Yep.
Have you made provisions for man gates around there? So case.
Yep.
Of anything going on, can we get like a man gate throughout there, so many feet?
I believe there are. Typically, we have a like a snow removal gate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure where.
I think there's man gates shown on the plan.
Pardon me?
I believe there are man gates shown on the plan. So I'm not sure exactly what sheet.
It was something that we have come across illegally in some of the classes that we've taken and stuff. And there's usually just one way into these places, and somebody's in there walking around, or guys working, and something happens.
Easy way to get
back out. Yeah,
sure.
And we can put the locks on there. We have the locks in the fire station.
Yep. Like the Knox box.
Yeah. Like the Knox boxes. If we could do something like that, that would be appreciated.
Yep.
Just a safety thing, just in case. I mean, if the guys are in there, working.
Yep.
Need to get a way out.
Certainly, we've done that before on the front gate, and worked with the fire department, make sure we're all training, get them.
Yep.
Give them a tour of the site before it goes operational.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff.
You'll see there are snow gates throughout, in addition to the main access gate. Like, for instance, one is here on page C303. In the back, you'll see a 20-foot snow gate.
Yeah. Okay. So if we can get the locks and put them in the Knox box, for the fire, that would be good.
Yep. I don't know if we have Knox box on this plan, but certainly something we could update.
Okay.
And
that would be good. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
So has the fire department commented on this site plan? Jim?
I have gotten nothing. I've not had any. There's been no discussion of that effect.
Yep.
To this point.
But they're aware of it.
Yes.
So we assume they have no comment.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then you could maybe coordinate that with those guys or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that okay with the board? Must be. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I'm looking at the right plans, the most recent ones revised March 31? No. February 17th. 22.
I think April 4th was what Travis Mitchell had sent over was the updated plans. Is that correct?
Yep, 404.
Yep.
So the most recent revisions over February 17th. I just want to make sure.
The most recent would be April 4th. I think primarily the changes, those weren't sent ahead of time. So those were...
I think this is what I got in the package.
Yeah, I think that the revision block is just missing a revision update, but these were updated for the additional information on the paper street that was updated to be more detailed and include the specs from the highway superintendent.
I just want to include all of them.
Yeah. On the front page, on the front page, it should say 404.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This is actually something I thought of, I think, after every time the event in front of it. I never asked him, actually meant to ask Mike about it, but this is an energy-generating facility, okay? Probably there's no actual structure other than you probably have, like, an inverter house or something, or a transformer house. You don't have, like, a a building?
No building, and the inverters and transformers don't have a shed built around them or anything. They're just...
Right. So your first thought is, well, if there's a fire, maybe the transformer's not a big deal. But there are other emergencies the fire department responds to. Mike, you can answer me on this, too.
Yeah, sure.
Is there some... I mean, is the fire department up to speed as far as how to react and how to work around or act around this active electric generating DC facility? Because this is DC, right?
Yes, inside of the... Before the inverter, yes.
Yeah. I think that's a question for the fire chief, but I can tell you they stay up with their training on the solar.
I'm not trying to insult them. I'm sure they stay up in the training, and obviously you would want to do whatever was necessary. But if for some reason somebody were to be on the site and get hurt or whatever, and they have to respond, it would be good for them to know.
Sure. Shut down switches, things like that.
I assume you have shutdown switches or break switches where you can break off whole sections or something that you have to work on.
Yeah. I mean, certainly we could offer that if that's, you know, maybe a condition of approval. We're happy. We've done this before with other fire departments where we've done trainings both, you know, ahead of operation of the system, do it before a building permit. We could definitely bring them up to speed and make sure that, you know, it aligns with the training they probably already received.
You don't want to make it a condition of your approval. I was leaning towards is if Mike goes and talks to the fire chief, and the fire chief goes, yeah, we might want to have a, you know, refresh on their system, you guys would be willing to take an hour or two to kind of get them an idea of what's where, and at least send them a schematic or something with instructions so that they know.
Certainly.
For everybody's safety and for the safety of your facilities, for you guys too. So.
Yep, I think it's a great idea.
Perfect, thank you.
Do you also have an operating and management plan that addresses safety issues and the like, whether it's keeping vegetation cut or checking wires, that kind of thing?
Sure. I believe we submitted an operation and maintenance plan a while ago. I'd have to go back and look as to the safety components of it. The project is monitored 24/7, and we do have, one of the founders of our company leads our operation maintenance team. So, you know, safety is a priority. We're definitely following all, you know, NEC guidance on anything and everything regarding safety. So, I'd have to go and review that O&M plan, but, you know, certainly I can get those, you know, for the board. But I would say yes.
Yeah, that's also the kind of thing a fire department
would
see. Emergency response.
Right, ERP plan, something. And you can communicate with Pete, he's a pretty good guy.
Okay.
Do you have any type of an alarm that makes a noise or anything if something goes haywire down there?
Nothing, no alarm that would set off.
Okay, so we're not going to have an alarm go off at 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning and have a problem with a noise.
No, okay. No alarms. We do have internal alarms, though, that we are monitoring 24/7. If we see an issue, something we can respond to.
I was just thinking like a water plant or a sewer plant.
Yeah.
I was thinking,
no, and then no sirens or anything. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
I had a couple of concerns beyond the site plan. Mike, I've mentioned this to you before at prior board meetings, and that is, you know, we have a plan for decommissioning, and I believe that has been vetted by the Dirge. And you've also offered a bond, and I understand that the town board has approved those, but I continue to have reservations about them. The bond is something to be terminated or canceled on 60 days' notice by the surety. And if that happens, that does not trigger an opportunity by the town to take money under the bond. In other words, the bond can disappear 60 days after it's issued, and there's no recourse, there's no additional security put in place. And then this is maybe more of a technicality, but the plan itself has got to look like a legally enforceable agreement. And currently, it's just a plan. It doesn't say Baker Solar Falls LLC, and the town agree as follows, and then how it's enforced. So those are two points that still concern me. Again, I think I was pretty clear on prior occasions, and I don't think I was alone in that concern.
Is that fairly accurate this depiction of what?
I would say it is a general plan, but we did, per this board, you know, get a full sort of appraisal and you know, scope of work here. We escalated it as, you know, out into the future. I think 2.5% or so every year. It does have our name on it, Bakers Falls Solar. It does include our standard practices and that bond amount. And if we actually did include a 11x17 sheet, a decommissioning page for the civil permit set, that should be there as well. That goes really into detail on what is going to be done. So that also was an addition. So I think, you know, the plan is there, the notes are there on how to decommission, and I think the cost was, you know, fairly estimated at this point.
Jim, has Carlo looked at that?
Yes. That would be been in the town board for months. They've looked at it. Carlo's looked at it. I don't know what else we can do. I mean, it went through that process. They accepted it.
Is it connected to, you say it's done by Baker Falls Solar LLC. Okay, is that a company or is that this site?
It is a project company that owns this project. And then above that is NextAmp Inc.
Okay, so it is connected to this specific site. The reason I ask that is that if 3 years from now, NextAmp decides to spin this off to an equity fund that's looking to build up its alternative energy portfolio or whatever, does that bond and that agreement go with it, or is it only with NextAmp?
Sure. No, it would be an asset of Baker Falls Solar and would go with it. That is part, you know, if we were to sell it, it is not part of our business plan. I mean, our business model is to own these projects long term, but if that, you know, possibility ever came up or potential, everything, all that would be one of the project attributes, certainly.
Well, business plans are by nature fluid.
Sure.
I don't know of any successful business that's ever set their business plan on day one and they're still doing it 5-10 years from now. They're probably on their way out. You're constantly upgrading your business plan, so you may change in your mind in the future. Is Ann accurate in saying that within 60 days of notice you can?
So really what that's saying is that the bond company can do that if they choose to.
Why would they choose that?
I don't know. I guess they want that out in the case. I don't know if they're going to get out of business. I think, you know, if they want to move out of the insuring solar projects, I don't know. This is some requirement our bond company
has. So then I'll ask this question. Is there something in the decommissioning plan that requires Baker Falls Solar to have a bond?
Not the decommissioning plan, no.
So what we have is we have a decommissioning plan that describes the scope of work, tries to extrapolate into the future the cost of that. And then an initial offering at the time of approval of a bond that could be canceled in 60 days.
With 60 days notice, yep. I mean, that is possible. That is in the bond form, correct.
So then I guess I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a farmer. I guess my question is what value is that bond? If it can be canceled without notice and without any stipulation.
I mean, all I can do is speak to experience. We've had the same bond company work with us. They're a reputable bond company.
Okay, but there's other bond companies. So if that bond company decides, hey, we're going to give Baker Falls Solar 60 days to know that we're going to dissolve this bond and make it go away, it would seem to me only reasonable that Baker Falls having that bond to cover that is the point of the bond. Right?
That we should place that back into
effect. That part of the decommissioning plan should be that you are required, or Baker Falls Solar, whoever owns it in the future, is required to have a bond for that amount, regardless of which company has that bond or holds that bond. Now, is that in the decommissioning plan?
No, that's not in the decommissioning plan currently.
And it's not in the bond either. I mean, they turn
the bond. I mean, the bond, if you're accurate, the bond is basically the same. The bond company can terminate it. That'd be like
Right. So
if you have a home and you say, okay, the mortgage company says you have to have a homeowner's policy on it, well, your insurance company can cancel your policy. But the mortgage company still wants you to have insurance, and they will require that you get insurance from someone.
Or they call you in default.
Right, exactly.
Your home. You have no recourse here, is really what it boils down to. So we had asked for things like letter of credit, guarantee of parent, or some combination of those things that were tangible. So the bond itself is not adequate security, in my view. And it's securing, basically a term sheet. Not, this is not just look like a binding contract to decommission. So I did, by the way, reach out to Carla and ask her about this and not heard back once she sent me a copy of the bond.
Alright, so that brings me to the next question. Is there any reason why Baker Falls Solar would not want to or would not be able to meet the stipulation that they are required to hold a bond from some bond company?
No, that's no problem.
Right, I didn't think it would be. And then the other question is, has that decommissioning plan made it past Carla's scrutiny?
Yes, that's why they're here.
Well, that's why I'm saying that, because Carla is our counsel for the planning board and for the town. So, okay. That answers my question then.
Jim, can I ask a question? Is there any way to tie certificate of occupancy to a valid bond, something that we could do through conditional approval or the site plan itself? I mean, we would have no problem agreeing to that.
You do conditional approval of the site plan.
Yep.
And then that's just right
now. That's me right now. Okay. I mean, yeah, I think that would seem to be the easiest way to sort of solve that issue. We would certainly agree to it.
I would think, given the confusion we've had so far, that I don't know if I make it a condition so much as present it to us and we can see what you've got.
I'm sorry, I only heard part of that.
Well, we've already talked about this condition previously, and we keep getting the same document back. So rather than state it as a condition that is, signed off when the final plans come through, I would like to see it again as a real bond.
When you say as a real bond?
One that can't be canceled until the obligations are fulfilled and the obligations are legally enforced.
But I don't know if that's part of the bond, part, company part of the bond, as much as part of the site plan.
I don't know what kind of authority you have as a planning board on a site plan. This invention the town board. The reason why I went to the town board is the town board is the only one who can commit the town to those types of, commitments. See, you don't have. I'm not an attorney, but I don't see that as a. This is site planning review. You're getting into financial security arrangements as a planning board.
That's a town board decision, financial stuff.
You can't commit the town to something. Only the town board can do this, my understanding.
Right, okay, this is to protect the town. This is not.
I understand that, but.
No, I know what you're saying.
I understand what you're saying, Anne, but there's limits to site plan review.
No, I understand that. If the condition is already on the decommissioning plan that you have to have a bond.
That's why you couldn't accept the decommissioning plan.
Exactly.
You had to go to the town board. Because they're the only one who, on behalf of the town, can make that commitment. Same way with the I'm quite certain on the form of security, when it comes to financial forms of security, only the town board has that authority. As inadequate as you may think it is, then send them back to the town board.
Well, I don't know that I thought it's inadequate. I was just trying to find a way to work around it so that the town is covered. All right, so I'm comfortable with the bond company being able to cancel on 60 days, and then what the town supposedly did is not being. There's no funding for it.
Is the town board aware of that? That they could cancel it in 60 days? Apparently they are, because Carla's reviewed it, right?
I understand you went. How many meetings with the town board?
Only two, but it took a while. Starting in December, and then we finally got back in May. But there were conversations in between to discuss that language. So we've had several conversations and two meetings.
I mean, I wish Carl was here, but I don't know. I wasn't a party to those deliberations. All I know is that it went through that scrutiny, as was asked.
I find it hard to believe that the town board would approve something that could be done in 60 days.
Right, but any insurance policy or bond can be dropped by the insurer or bond company. That's just general terms. You can drop those in notice.
Yeah.
But the applicant can be asked to keep.
Right, so the simple thing for it here is just a condition of site plan approval upon, you know, if they're canceled, we'll pick it back up with somebody else.
Right, yeah, that's all I was saying.
It's 30 days, just right. Let them go with that way everything's covered.
And what if they don't?
Well, it's part of the site plan.
That's part of the town board at that point.
Yeah, but it's also part of the site plan.
Right.
And what if they don't? It's a violation of the site plan, as with anything else. Ultimately, you go to the town, you go to the court.
If it's on the site plan as a condition, then it has some teeth and you don't have to take care of it.
Yeah, so it's a violation of that. The ultimate remedy is you go to court.
Okay, but the bond you have here is it's a draft and it refers to documents that you don't have. So I just don't know how it refers to
the documents there. It refers to that decommissioning plan you're holding, so it is referencing that decommissioning plan and that amount. That's why it's ensuring that.
It also references a special use permit from the town.
We discussed that with Carla. That needs to be updated.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't even know who's approving. This is not done.
No, it's not. Send it back.
Yeah, I got it from Carl this afternoon.
Alright, so I'll agree with Jim on this. We're supposed to be approving site plan. So we're trying to work on our site plan. Alright. The town wished for a decommissioning plan. I gotta say, your solar installation is pretty much the only project I've ever seen us say we need you to have a plan in case you quit doing business. None of the other things we do, we ask that. But then again, most of them have assets, structures that can be reutilized in some other way. So I understand that. But this is new territory for me. I'm not used to even having a decommissioning plan. I would say at the very least, upon approval this evening, I would want a note going to the town to say, hey, you might want to look into this fact that the bond could be canceled in 60 days. And apparently there's nothing that requires you to have a bond, which is weird. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. What's the point then?
The time that we would have run into this as a planning board is, and we've had this happen on several projects here that even predate me, is in the completion of a road.
Right, of course.
And we accept usually a bond, and Ann's correct. This is a typical problem with bonding. Right. It is that the bonding company can go out of business, the bond can expire, and there's really no financial backing behind it.
But usually there's an expiration date.
But still, those things are...
The length of the bond, even if it's with a different company. So the only time that comes into problems is if the development takes so much longer that it goes past that bond before the top coat goes on. And that just leaves it up to the town to say, okay, you're 10 days away from the end of this bond, top coat it now. You may not be done building, and you may not have any money left, but that bond's still there, and we want that top coat. Okay? So, I mean, really, I agree with you, Jim, we're getting into areas that are not our purview. This is up to the town to take care of this and their council to review it. I don't personally have a problem with throwing a condition on that says that the bond should be a requirement. You know, you have one.
It's actually the most important thing.
I'll say this, is I don't have enough votes here tonight to pass that requirement. I don't know that I would table the motion. And they can still move ahead with approval because I'm not sure it's our
responsibility. That falls on the town and the town's legal counsel. All right. So that's my personal opinion on it. Once again, as I said earlier, not engineer, not lawyer, farmer. Okay, so I'll offer my farmer advice on that. That's my position on it. So that said, is there any other comments, questions, anything like that? Not hearing any. Would anybody like to do anything with this applicant at this moment?
All right, here we go. I'd like to make a motion to grant site plan approval to Victor Small Solar LLC with the condition that language be added that the aforementioned decommissioning bond be included for the electrical project.
Be a requirement for the project. We have a motion. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second. Okay, could you say that condition again?
Grant approval.
Condition grant approval is contingent upon the bond, making the bond a requirement for the life of the project. That the bond is in place, or a bond is in place.
Okay, the security bond.
The decommissioning bond.
Decommissioning bond is in place.
For the life of the project. And that way, if your bond company says, hey, we don't like you anymore, we want out 60 days, you just know, okay, within 60 days, we have to come up with another bond.
Or insurance companies come and go.
Yep.
My personal opinion on it is it's up to the town to enforce it. That's not our job. We're planning, we're not enforcement.
That's
don't give us badges or guns.
Code enforcement. No.
Yeah. Actually, probably in this case, the town board would have to file, have legal file suit. That would be almost the way it would have to go. And I will take a word on that hand that it's possible that the decommissioning plan they have is may make that difficult. But that falls under the town board's problem, right?
I do think it's our problem as well. I mean, I think that's what the planning board is supposed to consider. And that's why we've made the comments we have, you know, thus far. And again, I think it's a complicated thing to incorporate into a condition on face of the site plan itself because you get into more complicated details like what are the obligations that are being secured by that bond and what's the amount of the bond and so on.
But that's covered under the decommissioning plan. It's a separate agreement from our site plan.
But it's not an agreement. It's a plan.
Once again, though, I still believe that concern should be addressed to the town board and their legal authority. I don't think it falls under our purview as far as what we're supposed to do as a board. That's my personal
opinion. Yeah, I appreciate your coming to satisfy the concern with the condition. I just don't think it works.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, can you call a roll on this motion?
Mike Shaver?
What is the motion again? The
motion is granting approval with the condition that the decommissioning bond is a requirement for the entirety of the project.
Yes.
Ann Perdue?
No.
Eric Bergman?
Yes.
Adam Siebel?
Yes.
John Arnold?
Yes. Majority on that. Four on one. Any other motions we would like to do at this point? Congratulations. That's final approval. So any other motion that we would like to make? Yeah, I'm not
I'll make a motion that the chairman of the board of the board signed by Lawrence Martin.
All right. And do we have a second on that?
A second.
We didn't get a second on that one. You don't want my other sign. Project stop. Right there. Not even sure how that stands up to an Article 78. We have a motion. We have a second. Not too controversial. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Me. No.
Motion carries.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All
I appreciate your consideration.
You know the hours of work down there while you're clearing that lot? Jim?
7 to 3.
Jim, can we clarify the hours of work while they're clearing that lot? Because we don't hear the complaints of noise and that kind of stuff.
I believe that's in the speaker. It has hours of
construction. What's that?
I believe in the speaker there are hours of construction listed.
They did reference the hours in the speaker that we did. Mike, I think.
Okay, I'm just talking from what, you know.
So we I understand your question.
You're not planning on running any wood chippers at 10, 2 a.m. or?
No. And probably not at 7 a.m. either.
I think it's 7 to 7 is actually when it's not.
Well, we
7 p.m.
That's what I don't know. You know what I'm referencing.
Yeah, because under construction, you're not allowed to make certain decibel noises before 7 in the morning or after 7 o'clock at night. I know because I got called out 3 times because I was in there after 7 at night. So, thank you very much.
Okay.
See you. Good luck with the project.
Thank you very much. We just have some complaints about noise down there, so we're trying.
Next up, we have.
Oh, Rachel. Thank you.
Holding right along on our agenda, McKenna subdivision. Is that our name, the project, or is it just giving credit to you because we know who you are?
I think you guys are sort of out
there. I have a set of plans here that says subdivision of land of Shinnin. It's on Selfridge Road, but it doesn't say McKenna. It says,
I think you guys are signing my name on the first.
Shannon Craig. Is that your project?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. I don't think we're following anymore.
Subdivision, you're not putting a plan on putting a sign up front of the lights or anything?
No, we can't name the driveway, we're not putting a sign.
You know that. See?
Yeah.
You get it right away. I love that.
Yeah.
Tell us a story. What do you got for us?
Just to answer Mike's question, the construction 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
Really? Yep.
Okay, thank you.
What's that?
Thank you.
That's what their thing says.
I just wanted to control.
That's not what the town law is.
Correct.
Just wanted to control the noise down there.
Yep.
Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
So, since we were here last, we went out and captured topographic data to be able to provide inclusive contours that are required in the building areas, the driveways. So, in here, we put together a more comprehensive plan set for your request. Put the proposed on the engineering sheets, existing condition sheets, survey sheets 2 and 3, and the rest of it's put together by Precision Engineering. We have done his reduction in the length of the shared driveway to 800 feet, I believe, to keep
it. It was 860 feet for a SWIP purpose of keeping under an acre. You go over an acre of disturbed on the shared, and they're part of post construction management for the life of the project, and you know. 4 houses wasn't really ideal for us, so we shortened the shared portion of the driveway and sprawled it off 4 directions after that. And then he included a lot more stormwater prevention stuff as per the Verdi's request. We checked dams, all the pipes, the sizes, runoff control.
So now what is the overall length of the shared portion?
860 feet.
And that's the reduced amount?
Yeah, well, it's going back to 1400 and includes back to lots. So it's going to be shared all the way to the top of that hill.
The reason I'm asking is so every part of the shared driveway, including the ones going through the 2 houses in the back, that can be built to be more than 300 foot long driveway spec.
So the continuation of the driveways to the back lots? They are, yes, they are more than 300 feet.
Yeah. Well, even if they weren't, you have a shared driveway, you don't have a road.
Right.
So the minute the driveway goes more than 300 feet, it has to meet that requirement for the determination of the driveway. So you would have had to do it if it's 20 feet wide, 13 feet
okay.
Wide.
Okay.
Those are those specs I gave you a while ago.
The space specs require that, right?
So the driveways, not the shared part you're asking? The shared part is 20 feet wide and clears trees and all that.
Yeah, but the other two driveways, the driveways for proposed lot D and proposed lot B are more than 300 feet long.
Correct.
Right? Right. It's up to go up to that. That's standard.
Okay. If this shared portion was a road, and then the driveway is from that point on to less than 300, that's different. But basically, just because the first section is 100 feet, okay, then every driveway there is more than 300 feet long.
Okay.
The idea is Mike doesn't want to have to roll out more than 300 feet of hose when he's at a fire.
I don't mind rolling it out. Yeah, you're picking it up.
Exactly. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's it. And here's the shared part.
So you're going to get a major disturbance now.
Yes.
Even with that,
for acres for the shared road and then 5 acres for the road.
Right, right, right.
So the final conclusion then from the verge is you've installed all the recommendations they did in terms of the check dams and the prevention measures?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's all the plan here now.
Yes.
Sir.
Jim, has LaBerge responded to this last letter?
I believe they have. They said you got final sign.
From LaBerge?
Yes.
Well, they emailed you saying that the upcoming narrative was review, and I didn't get a response to that from you. So and you said everything looked good on your end at the
right one.
The fire chief said everything looked good at that end. Yes, everybody has been thumbs up.
I'm going to confirm with the birds that they're all set, because the emails I saw were going fast and furious there for a few days, and quite frankly, I just started to. I don't know what these guys are talking. I got to confirm that you guys are all set.
Sure.
So, yeah, pending that, it'll probably.
So if that is the case, this is now an erosion and sediment control plan, and it's subject to Matt's year review and approval because we're under the 1 acre. That's what we've been doing in the past. As a stormwater officer, he takes it from there.
So, yeah, with the same jumping up to the middle,
right.
Same schedule of public hearing.
I think there's a schedule of public hearing.
How are you
looking
to schedule the public hearing?
We can do it next meeting.
Can we do a final public hearing one?
We can request that in your next application.
Are we in this time?
Huh?
Are we in this time?
No. You know about the sign, Kristen, right? Yes, with the sign up.
Right, yeah. It has to be advertised at the site, correct?
Yeah. So the next meeting is June. We did the mailings. The next meeting is June
20th.
Yep.
We're assuming that with the driveways and the house lots, you're clearing less than an acre.
5 acres for a total. Less than 1 acre on the shared portion of the road is where they got concerned.
Okay.
So we reduce that down to 0.6 acres. It's more now.
Misunderstood that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
Or the treehouses.
Yeah. When you got in there, you've been in there with an excavator now. You got.
I went in just to clear some brush in line of sight in the first 500 feet and came off pretty good.
So how did we, there's no wetland mark on it.
No.
How did we make that determination?
Dan did some research with GDC and websites and doesn't find anything until Hatchery area, like somewhere down by Hatchery Road, I think.
Okay, so there's wetlands up there.
Not on my side of the road.
Okay, nobody's walked in a map then, maybe. But there are wetlands up in there. So that's why I was asking if it's.
I'm not familiar with them. I haven't seen any vegetation.
No, I don't know on your lot.
Okay.
You said that nothing shows up until Hatchery Road. I'm going to tell you to go cross Elton Road when you were swimming in January.
Yes, cross the street towards Hatchery Road, yes. Now I'm training.
I just was wondering, because the base of that hill, knowing the conditions over there, that side is higher than the other side of Elton Road, but knowing the conditions in there, talking to a couple of people I know that have hunted up in there, and they all said, well, you know, are they going to put the houses, where are they going to put them, you know, to stay out of the wetlands? Or the plans, there's no wetlands. So I wondered if somebody walked it. Did DEC come take a look?
No.
Or did you just go to a mapper because nobody's mapped them yet?
There's not a lot of map in that area, you know, with 4.5 old being opened up and everything else, but the houses we built so far on the road, the elevation goes up like 15 feet. So we're only traversing the shared driveway to anywhere that has any moisture, I'm going to call it. Once I was able to clear some of the brush, I went back after a week of sun, and I was able to walk out with normal sneakers. The day I did that, I was not. You know, but it's still topsoil. Once you get the topsoil out with your fabric down in gravel, you might stabilize it. You know, and the culvert pipes, it's got some catch basins going down to the catch basins, but retention areas to slow the flow.
Okay, so then I guess. Have you punched a hole? You've done a perk test?
Yes. Yeah. On my own. I didn't have an engineer with us that they're not at that level yet.
But you'd have to do that before you could.
Oh, for the house being built, 15 feet higher in elevation.
I mean, you can request a downtown if
No. I don't know. That's why I'm asking him.
Right.
Even if you're playing it, I'm a firm believer that the best thing you can put onto a construction project or a farm field is your footprints.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you really get a feel for what's there. So I was just asking what you found when you got up in there.
Right now, we didn't want to take any trees, so we're not trying to disturb any more necessary. We only took the overgrowth that was very hard to walk through to get our 2-foot contours. I can't wait to get the machine back there further. There's a couple of cobblestone walls. I don't think I'm going to find any big rock, but you can tell farmers have been there before. They've established the stone walls where the pasture may have been one day. Or they kill it, or, you know, I'm not sure.
But farmers don't bring rocks in.
They move them out.
The rocks are in a wall there. They got dug up from somewhere there.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and there's evidence of those rock walls. So there might be a little bit of rock, but we've done some hand digging up back, and it seems like really good loam soil. So we're really good there, I think.
Thank you. I believe she was
I'll make a motion to
accept the public hearing. We have the 701 slot
available. 701 on June 20th.
June 20th.
We have a motion to set a public hearing for the. Are we going to go with the McKenna subdivision?
Sure.
It says.
Sure.
Okay. McKenna subdivision for June 20th at 7:01 p.m. Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Doesn't seem too terribly controversial. I think we can do that on just straight call. So all in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any no opposition? We'll see you on June 20th at 7:01.
I'll set the final. I did that by mail for an application to you.
Yes.
And I'll do that tomorrow or this week or something.
Yep.
Okay. And that'll be another one from this one.
Okay.
We'll be end of June, that July?
It'll be end of June 20th meeting. No, at that time, what you're going to be requesting is the board to consider preliminary and final, or waive the final and have a lot of approval.
Okay.
I see you got your maintenance agreement for the driveways. Do you have the easement language yet for the deeds?
She has to go on the measurements, right?
Yeah, mine's the description.
She'll write a description where Tim will do a legal.
Right, yeah. Are you interested in the needs and bounds description of it, or more language of the legal ease?
Well, both, actually, because typically we have the attorney review, the planning board's counsel review that beforehand, make sure it's. We did it with your last.
Absolutely, yeah, we'll do that. Tim is not.
So make that part of your next submission.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Before you go on the easement frame, which is a little box, you might want to make sure that access is for pedestrian and vehicular, and also for emergency services. I think it's intended, but easements you want to be careful. Utility underground, allowing that easement. And you may want to set a standard for maintenance being safe passage. Right now, it's just whatever lot D owner wants to do.
I just had a strange. Was there some language in there? I read it one more time. It seemed like I had a little more detail to it.
Yeah, and the other thing is you may want to have some way that the other lot on A, B, and C have a way of enforcing.
Recourse.
Yeah, that they have some recourse. Very often, a title company will have an attorney that will say, what kind of thing to do?
Right.
And the clearer it is, the easier it's going to be for you to sell it.
And because attorney agent includes think about being responsible for legal fees, you know, on behalf of the lot owners if they don't comply. So, it's, you know, you felt like that was probably just the strictest thing you could do. So, I'll there will be something along
the way. Yeah, specifies applying more than three inches determined by the lot owners, you know, if they decide something different, they can do it.
Because I think we go to these extra lengths to do these shared driveways correctly, it is a viable option.
Sure.
As long as they're properly planned and executed.
I have one concern before the public hearing next month. On your page C100, I think that's the page, the C-100 in the bottom right hand corner. Proposed lot A doesn't connect to the public road. Proposed lot A is not connected to the public road. There is a boundary line in there that I ensure is a ghost line.
That's just showing your 250 feet of frontage, a ghost line.
Yeah,
there's a solid line, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can turn that off. They do own 176 June.
We're talking about the vertical line.
Yes.
That goes from the shared driveway to the boundary of the property. It's a solid line, just like the property boundary line.
It was there. We were trying to show this line here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were trying to show you the width of the lot. We weren't sure.
Can you make that go away?
We have to go.
Because it very much looks like you have another lot out on Selfridge Road that you don't have in the project, and this one doesn't have one.
Otherwise,
you've done a very nice job of making sure that all of the lots
have
ingress egress from their own property for public road. So.
The survey
when you find these, and then if they don't want to show up on the night of final approval and have that line there, you're trying desperately to erase it.
So. Well, we're going to get in Christian's engineering degree too.
Yeah.
So let's put them all work on your lap.
White out will work. If you want to come bring your plans, you can just white out all over.
You can have a full reveal
now. What do they got for you the next one? Do you need to hold this out for that provision, that line removed, or?
Well, no, you really do need a whole new set because that'll be, if it gets to be final as you want, that'll be the final set to get signed.
Okay. I need that language. Yeah. C-100 has to be fixed. You're right, the rest of them don't have
it. Yeah, we'll get my engineer to take out some of the language from going back and forth. So we'll work on that, we'll get that cleaned up, and let me know if you're going to convert anything. I called that myself and
I'll check into the emails.
So we'll go check that.
I have a note here to check the emails.
Awesome. He's probably with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out my font size. You said my font was too big once, but I did it with my phone.
It was 9 years ago.
Oh, my tiny?
It's impossibly small. I think it's like 3.5. Just to file a complaint.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See, that I'm the one that complained about the big, huge plans, and then the next project came in on these 11 by 17s. And I have great eyes, but not long enough arms.
That's good.
All right, so thank you very much. Do you have any other questions for us?
I think we're good. I'll have a rest again tomorrow.
Yeah, we will see you
later. Yes,
I do. I look forward to it.
Sometimes more on Sunday.
Then we'll see you in July.
Thank you.
June 20th. All right, moving right along into new business. We have an applicant, U.S. Light Energy. We have one of those.
Yes, we do. Can we try this projector?
It's not as fun as watching engineers try to get the
stand
holding the plans to work, but...
You want this up too? Let's
hold it. Let's see how this looks.
We have one in the old town hall that stood up too straight. It was so much fun watching engineers try to get the
right
to stay on that a couple of times. They're like, well, we can fix that.
They all just fly off the thing. Yeah, that's happened to me before. So.
There are priorities here. Fun.
Yeah, just a few minutes to get this set up for you. You pull that screen down.
Heard the term community solar before, and we've had a few projects in front of you in these, or that's been around the town for a while. We have about 8 facilities across the state that are currently in operation for about 50 megawatts, and about 7 more plan to go online this year. We're here tonight to seek the planning board's recommendation as part of our application to the town board for a planned unit development at 65 Reynolds Road, just up the street from Town Hall. We've been in front of the planning board before for a lot of feedback regarding a project that we had proposed, primarily for community solar. And we took a lot of that feedback into account and have we're here tonight to propose a new plan that we have for the site that really mixes a few other uses into play in addition to the solar. This is a planned unit development. It's something that we've found stated in the the community's master plan as far as what this site may be worthy of, and we're here tonight to give you feedback on those uses, ultimately seeking a recommendation to the town board. But we have a few uses I'd like to just present to you guys. So we've broken the site up into 4 primary zones. We have a solar development area, as I mentioned, our primary use, a resource protection area, a community garden, which we found also in the recreation master plan prepared for the town. And lastly, we have a future development area. And of that future development area, I do want to focus on a few of the uses that we have proposed. Those include a residential use for residential campground, a data center, and agricultural. So just to walk through those, the reason we propose this agriculture and an agricultural field.
So it wasn't, I was questioning, my hearing isn't that well, I'm sorry.
I probably should take a breath before I said that one. But anyways, the future development, the reason we're proposing that is some of the feedback we've heard on PUDs is oftentimes the primary use gets approved, and then the rest of the uses either take a while to come to fruition or they don't. And we've really proposed multiple uses to allow us the flexibility to ensure that that gets developed as part of this project. We have spoken to development partners, at least one for every one of these uses that we propose, and have immediate interest in the uses that we propose. So I know some of those are self-explanatory as far as the residential section goes. The campground development, we've had a few interested parties express a desire to host a luxury campground for that area. It has a lot of space available, and due to its lack of sewer, I don't think it's necessarily prime for a high-density residential. But through a campground, we think we can get 80 to 100 campsites on that facility, and those are really going to vary in terms of the amenities they offer. And the actual number is something that we expect to detail during the site plan approval process. And I did read the comments from the planning department that I want to speak to in a minute. The next use that we had up for that future development area was a data center. And I just want to, in case anyone's not familiar with that, it's basically a temperature-controlled warehouse for computer equipment that allows for the transferring and storage of data and applications. So it's a use that we feel the community and counties around us will need in the future as we continue to rely on data and cloud-based storage systems in our day-to-day lives. So, and then lastly, is just something else we've heard, and I think it might have been historical use of the property, would be for agriculture use for the field. So those are the primary uses that we have proposed. Just to go into a little more detail on the community garden, that's about a 7-acre portion of the property. Again, in the master plan for the community, we recognize the need to identify a location for the community garden and a potential funding source. I've not gotten town feedback on that, but it is an area that we feel would be right for that community garden. Just some of the natural resources. Aesthetically, it's got a couple of ponds from the former golf course that we would leave intact. I think it could have a lot of potential for some walking paths, and there's plenty of space around there to host raised garden beds and also some smaller plots for community use. And just to get into a little more detail on the community solar portion, that is the entirety of the west of the transmission lines. We chose that location because it is well out of view from the surrounding area. It's the best that we could sight on the usable area of the property. That was the largest takeaway from the last time we presented a project here, was just the visual impact that some don't like to see these. I understand that. We found a spot that's off the path, out of view, and it kind of is nicely divided by the National Grid right away, or rather their corridor. They own that property. You can see the parcels are split So that solar development area is capable of hosting a 10 megawatt facility on the AC side. We think that can power about 1,500 homes, give or take. With that, I do want to turn it over to Chris Pilney to talk a little bit more about the environmental aspects and the site preparation we've done so far.
Yeah, nice to see everyone. Chris Conner with CT Mail. So I think it's important to note that the yellow polygon you're seeing does not represent the footprint of the array, right? So we're at PDD or PUD planning stages. So that's essentially a district. You know, we're districting the property to allow for a diversity of uses. So that's not the dash line around the yellow polygon is not the fence line, so to speak, right? So it's just it's a district of this 200-acre parcel. We took the protected class streams here, the north side and the west side of the property, and those are somewhat in size streams. So there's ravines and steep slopes around those streams. So we carved those out as resource protections to preserve the vegetation, the steep slopes, and protect the streams. Basically, just stay out of the streams. But that's a considerable amount of acreage of the parcel. And then we also added to this plan proposed setbacks from the solar development area. So between 75 and 110 feet are the setbacks. And I think the PUD allows for us to come to a consensus on what the setback should be from the property boundary based on what's the existing condition. What's the existing tree line look like? What are the adjoining properties? How far do we need to be back to alleviate any concerns from the neighbors? So, this is highly conceptual. It's a sketch plan, and our intent tonight is to figure out if there's any uses that you see as non-starters that you would not recommend to the town board for advancement. Before we dive into heavy engineering, because it's a large property, it's a substantial project, we want to get some feedback on the use of the property in these districts. I'm going to click off the plan for a few minutes here and go through just a brief slideshow. Sometimes pictures can tell 1,000 words here. So
while you're following up, Chris, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the comments we got from the planning staff, which are really helpful. And a lot of those, the recurring theme for me was to add some more detail to these proposed uses. And I'm happy to do that. But tonight, we really wanted to gain an understanding, as Chris mentioned, if there's any uses that are non-starters, ones you particularly like better than others, so we can make sure we focus our efforts on what the town would like to see.
Yeah. So the east side of the property is the old T-Bird South. We have some photos of where, the existing conditions. I think it's important to note as to why we carve these areas out for these particular uses, to kind of paint the picture here. So photo one, this is off the old driving range. So this is the area that would be, future development area where we're proposing the number of uses that Mike outlined, one of which was, a traditional subdivision residential development. This is probably the prime property on this parcel. It has the frontage and the access on the state highway, and it's just, relatively flat level, dry land. So that's number one. That's showing where the photo is taken from. Number two is the opposite direction. So this is sort of the tree line condition of that future development area. So again, pretty ideal for building development. Number three is a pond that's a constructed pond for the golf course. That would certainly be preserved as an asset to any type of development. So, we're considering the natural features of the property to enhance the uses of the property. So that's the pond. Number four, so this represents the community garden, the landscape of that. So you have, if you go back, there's two constructed ponds from the golf course that have, grown in with some reeds and cattails around the fringe of the pond. So it's quite scenic, for that portion. So that would be a community accessible open space or community garden, some type of use. And we really feel that takes advantage of the scenic value of this portion of the site. Again, same different direction, but same scenario here, same landscape. So this is somewhere where the public could come and use this space for rest, relaxation, and recreation. And then going to the other side of the site, so This is a number six. So this is up the National Grid parcel. It shows some of the topography of the site. So this is a ravine that kind of bisects the site from north to south. As you can see, the transmission poles stop at that location. So, there's no poles they cross. That just depicts some of the topography. And then number seven is the existing National Grid easement, so the gravel road that traverses through the western portion of the property. So this is the area where there'd be solar development proposed. In this portion of the property, it's more scrubby, shrub, some trees, some forest stands, but not like the prime portion of the property on the east side. So that's why we're proposing solar here, because it's largely screened with the existing condition. That's number seven. So number eight, sort of the southern portion of this west side here. So again, nice established tree line on this part of the property that will be preserved. And then number nine, we sort of have some willow shrub there, maybe some dogwood. Number 10 is the northern extent of the property. Again, that's that access road that's existing, the National Grid easement to access their transmission lines, and this is the adjoining property boundary here. So just to give you a sense of what the existing conditions are like, so you can understand how the uses interact with the existing environment of the property, because it is such a large site. So that's kind of what I had for that. I'll flip back to the map and entertain any questions, but again, knowing that this is preliminary, we don't have design engineering details yet, but we wanted to get feedback on use tonight. So, thank you.
So the solar area, they won't be able to see from the road?
Correct.
So the view shed really is here, kind of this whole frontage, and then the land rises and you come up this way, and then it's vegetated in here. You don't really get it in here. Or there's a gate, an access gate. It's a good landmark. If you ever go out there, you can kind of use that as a sort of a starting point for where that solar development area would begin.
Well, how far off the main road would that solar development area begin?
Well, currently we have about 100 feet right here. It's conceptual, so that, that's something that we can talk about to make sure we're mitigating the, you shared concerns as much as you can.
Yeah, I just want to set the expectation, too. I think that the views would be extremely limited from that viewpoint you just mentioned. We have to perform a visual assessment. Happy to provide that from that area. But our intent would be to site in the area that's least intrusive. And that certainly seems like, just due to the existing vegetation, as Chris mentioned, we're about 100 feet at minimum to the start of that solar development area. And then wherever we put the fence from there, we're going to be another 20 feet from that fence before the actual panel start. But if you're considering the fence as part of the facility, it's about 20 feet off of that line.
Yeah, in this part of the property, so we have a couple neighbors here. We're using the sort of this tree line that's on our site as the boundary, not the property line, because to them that might feel like the property line.
So you'd be probably 80 feet from the residence?
So from the closest resident, we are 152 feet.
Yeah, we have that mark on the plan. If I can zoom in, it's
152 feet.
Yeah.
And then 200 from the other one, it appears.
And we're trying to leave as much of the mature vegetation as possible. We can leave all of that. And then beyond that, we're dealing with distance. We are trying to fit a certain size, and shifting it entirely to the west of the transmission line, plus considering the topo, kind of limited us. But we felt that was an adequate buffer, certainly compared to other setbacks we've seen in towns.
You had mentioned a warehouse of some sort or something down there?
That was the best I could describe a data center for the future development area. But that, I just want to speak to where we had envisioned that, because we, in our PUD, we had proposed a combination of any of those uses. And that's something that we wanted to push to site plan approval, so each of the uses can be considered on their own merit. But that one, for instance, we would envision siting behind the community garden, well off the road, and it's a relatively low traffic use, And due to the proximity to the transmission line and the available electrical infrastructure, we thought it was a good site for that. So that's why I proposed it, but that's why we're here tonight, just to get your feedback.
Where's the nearest fiber?
I'm sorry.
Where's the nearest fiber?
That I do not have on this map.
So no, I don't mean on the map. Where's the nearest fiber optic?
I don't have information available. So that presumably would be extendable, certainly easier than sewer to get to that site. But I can provide that information if it's something we continue. I've already gotten the feedback, maybe not.
Is that residential down there, Jim, or agriculture? Or
it's R3.
It's R3, so it's the beginning of our agricultural use, the R3 is.
But it's
R4 or 5. The one thing just to set the board's expectations and the applicants, having never, I don't think it's been a while since this town went through a PUD. I think the NEST was the last one. What you're ultimately going to end up with is a separate piece of legislation that is a district section in the code covering this PUD in terms of uses, setbacks, and all that. So we're essentially setting forth a new zoning district in the code. And it's going to be, that's what the expectation is, and once that document, if it gets that far, it's done. It's adopted by the town board, and it's appended to the chapter 149. And it's now a new PUD and new zoning district. So we're going to be setting forth a use schedule, bulk and height requirements, all that stuff. It's going to just be a brand new district. So there needs to be a lot more detail fleshed out here as to what the uses are. And then once that's adopted, it's going to come back to you guys for detailed site plan review, and a project this large could involve phasing. So it'll be a phasing plan, phase 1, 2, and 3, and so on. And so there's a lot of detail here to work out. I can appreciate wanting to, start slowly, but there's a lot to do here ahead of
it. Jim, it's been a while since I've read about PUDs. I think the last one we did was a home and good shepherd.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is it housing one of the intended?
Yes.
Well, it's a fundamental intention of PUD.
Yes.
Not just random lawful use.
Right.
But some form of housing.
And I think from my perspective, I mean, I wrote the comprehensive plan, and I say this as a wider comment for the region, not just this town, but I think we have a special opportunity here, is there's an opportunity to really do some innovative, very responsive things in terms of housing. Renewable materials, sustainable materials. Certainly you're going to have alternative energy sources here. Expandable housing, so maybe it starts at a minor footprint and it expands to meet the needs of a growing family, so it's affordable in its first iteration, and it can be expanded and be more expansive as the needs of a family may grow. There's a lot of things that can be done here, and I think we're challenged to start looking at these things differently instead of just accepting the common, ordinary, conventional housing stock that we see. I mean, I traveled, down south and across this nation, and I'll be honest, I think Florida and Georgia are eating our lunch. They are doing some spectacular housing communities down there. Recreation integrated, amenities, just showpieces of projects.
They're designing communities.
Yes.
Instead of letting communities fall together, they're designing.
And this site, especially by virtue of its location in the town, the infrastructure that it's got available to it, its location on the state highway, it's accessible. There's views, spectacular views within this site and out, on adjoining areas, even across the river. So this can be a really special place.
With that said, we're leapfrogging ahead in the PUD process, because the first part of the PUD process is deciding whether an application qualifies to become a PUD in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with the property itself and with the proposed project. So what we have here is we have a 200-acre parcel that is more than an R3. Okay? It's a 200-acre parcel that's an R3 with an entertainment allowance grandfathered in. This is not every parcel in the town of Rome. This is a unique parcel on a state highway, visible with good knowledge. People know this site. Okay? Obviously, it didn't work as a golf course. Okay? It sat for sale for a number of years. What I see looking at this right now is I see a solar project. Okay? And then I see some other things that have been put in to try and fit into the framework of the PUD. That's what I see. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's what I see. So my first question is, when I'm looking at it, whether it should or shouldn't be a PUD, is why? Why this site? You didn't already own it. It's not like you already owned it and it didn't work out as a golf course. Now what can we do with it because nobody's bought it? You are actually moving towards buying it. All right? And the one thing that keeps coming back is this solar installation. So why here on this parcel?
So we're not connecting those transmission lines, but no. The available infrastructure was attracted to us, and we do own the property currently.
Yeah.
So that the distribution lines were actually what was attracted to us in terms of the site.
So the last time you were in front of us, you stated you will not be using those lines. You wanted
the
to train to. You were apparently were going to send the power to the substation on Spire Falls Road, or not Spire Falls Road, on Butler Road?
Correct. That's why we're using the distribution line. So those are what runs on the street.
So you're
right
hitting
out.
The phase 3 on 197, not the overhead.
Correct. Correct. However, those transmission lines and their tall towers do exist on the property. And I think that they are consistent with what you would see for a solar array, or at least more consistent than putting it in just an open farm field. We're also siting it in the space of the property.
I'm going to go back and explain that to you.
So
if you're not using those lines, okay, why would it be consistent with the solar?
I think the structures are very similar in terms of electrical infrastructure, just the look and the feel. I don't think they're too dissimilar.
Okay, well, we have those transmission lines crossing the road and immediately hitting farmland.
Yep. And I also have an existing vegetative border around the property.
We also, if we follow those transmission lines, find apartment complexes and housing and like many other uses with them.
Okay.
So why this use on this parcel?
Because
it's a selling chance. Why this use?
Well, because I think it has the ability for us to put this solar array in a spot that's least impactful. Less impactful than some of the other locations that may be along the same distribution lines that we get pushed back time and time again from municipalities. I've been to a lot of towns. It is becoming harder and harder to site these projects, and our communities desperately need those. I know that's a controversial topic. I understand not everybody may agree with me, but we need more renewable energy, and there's becoming fewer and fewer places that allow these, including this town.
Your solar installation is not using the power lines on site.
It is using power lines adjacent
to
the site.
It's using the phase 3 out on 197.
Correct.
It's not using the transmission.
Correct.
It does not need state highway access.
Correct.
It does not need the extra for the entertainment thing other than you're using it for your PUD to some degree. Okay. So, I mean, the PUD process is set up, as Jim was saying, to create unique things. All right. Mainly it was for things that don't fit anywhere else in zoning. Okay. So you would have a thing where you would have a combination of business and retail and housing or whatever in a spot that only allows commercial. It's that type of thing. Whereas what I see here is you guys really want to put solar there. And that's fine. And now the only way we can do it, because it's not allowed there with zoning, we don't allow solar in our R3 right now. Right? I mean, that's
correct.
Pretty fair to say.
Yep.
So we throw in a future development area that's very big. Okay? I commend you throwing agriculture in there, residential, obviously it is in an R3. Data center, maybe a little
shallow on the thinking if you're not sure where there's a T-line coming in, because if you don't have a fiber optic cable, you're not going to get data center. You'll have to bring it. Right. And you could.
Yep.
All right. Campgrounds are probably a reasonable use with the recreational usages already allowed there. Okay. You have a resource protected area that basically would be better labeled undevelopable. I mean, in general, I don't see this town allowing you to develop 25 to 30 degree slopes. All right, and the community garden, I thought when I first saw it, you were talking about, you know, people coming and planting a garden, but it sounds, the description that you gave, it sounds more like a park.
I think that would also include in our description the raised garden beds and plots similar to
the park. You did say raised garden beds. I would recommend you go to the Harrow Beach, our park, our public park, and if you look closely as you're driving in, you can see the raised beds of weeds that are still not being used. This is not a city community. So most everybody here has an acre, half acre. If they want to grow a garden, they can. I'm not saying it's not a great idea. I'm just saying you're probably not going to have a lot of people jumping all over, you know, wanting to put their garden there.
So even more benefit for a dual use to have.
Right. I mean, last time you were in front of us, you were talking about cross-country skiing trails and hiking trails or walking trails. That might be more... more of an interest to people.
Open space.
Now, if you're saying community garden where it's going to be maintained with the ponds and, you know, flower beds or whatever, people, that would tie into that. But I guess I'm going way back to the beginning of why in the first place do the PUD, other than you'd like to put solar here, and the PUD seems to be the only avenue for you to do that.
Well, I understand the opinion you stated, but I feel like this is also maximizing our development of the property.
Don't get me wrong. I like this layout better than the last one. I think you've taken into consideration our comments. I think it's putting the solar in a spot that's less intrusive. Right? I don't really know about the view of solar. I know some people look at it and they see green energy, other people see glass and aluminum. Okay? I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to live in a house right next door, but there's a lot of things I wouldn't want to live next door, that's why I live on 152 acres. Okay? But the question is, for me at least, is that the best use for that land? Okay, and if it is, you know, you have to use a PUD to do it. Does your proposal meet the requirements of a PUD?
Right. So I'll add a little color to that. I think we may need to temper our expectations a little with entertainment and commerce and commercial, just because. This part of the property is somewhat marginal. There's wetlands in here.
Yes.
There's ponds. There's topography. There's going to be a lot of earthwork to build an entertainment commercial hub in this portion of the site. So
no, it's not commercial.
Well, you know, entertainment.
Okay.
However,
yes,
it was framed.
No,
right.
I appreciate
what
you're saying.
Right.
You
so
know,
right. So
here.
So I'm saying is, in to answer your question, it may be one of the highest and best uses of that site given the current. Economic opportunity to the applicant. Now, with that said, the other side of the property is a beautiful site for visible development, right? So that's why, to answer your question, solar
and it's
is
much, and it's much better drained. And
correct.
So you don't get the wrong impression. I'm actually fully supportive of solar, but I don't consider solar to be a priority use. All right. So if you have a parcel that's really well tuned to housing development or whatever, you wouldn't be putting solar. If it was commercial development, you wouldn't be putting solar. If it was industrial, we did. We just approved Baker Falls, but if you look at that one, Baker Falls solar proposal was behind a power line right away between the industrial park and residential property. It just was a very unique setup. Okay. I commend you for moving it to where it's a little less visible. I myself personally question whether this fits into the definition of a PUD.
So I also just want to speak to turning this whole thing into residential development. We are limited by the lack of sewer and water that's near the site. So that is one limiting
element.
You read
the code on it, right?
I'm sorry?
You read the code on it. It's well over an acre per lot.
Okay, it isn't like you're talking apartment complexes. It does not require...
Under a PUD, we could propose whatever housing development that we would like, and that's what I'm saying. You just, you envision this as a residential community, and just, I think that we are challenged by what we're able to do with the septic and the water.
I don't know that I'm envisioning. I'm not telling you that I think it should be a residential community. Okay? What I'm telling you is it's one of the options that are available. Okay? You've even included it with your future development.
We have, and the size we think is feasible.
But, like I said, usually a PUD is a project exists, it doesn't fit the zoning, and it's how can we find a way to change the zoning to make it work. Whereas this is more of a piece of property exists, and you have a use that doesn't fit the zoning, then we're trying to come up with a way to make it into a PUD so we can do the non-zoning part. Okay, so that's just... That's the part that I'm still trying to figure out. Home of the Good Shepherd came to us with a project that didn't fit the zoning, but the project was the Home of the Good Shepherd. Okay, well, it wasn't home. What did they call it? So it had a name.
The Nest?
The Nest.
See, now, I think that's even more of a... More, I don't know how that ever got... It
well,
only
that
had
one
use.
That one bothered me because it was single use.
Right. I don't know how that became a PUD. It's got one
because
use.
The planning board made a recommendation and the town board went ahead anyways. And it came back to us. So I think it was something they really wanted, even though it didn't fit zoning, and they went ahead with it.
It's a very liberal use of it.
And I'm not saying that I don't think that solar development is a particularly good use for this. It may very well be. Okay? So I guess my take on it is if you came to me with, okay, we want to do an RV park with a public access trails and blah, 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 and we also think we'd like to have a residential community attached to them, and there's this chunk over here that really isn't going to work for any of that, but we can put solar there as part of it and make it a PUD. If you were using it that way, you'd say, okay, so this is a project that found a parcel and just, you know, is trying to make it fit, whereas it seems to be more the other way around. We have a desire to put solar here, and I do believe your first desire was those transmission lines. I agree with you on that. Okay, it's changed, and that's fine. I can think of another reason for a PUD is you have a project that doesn't fit, say, anywhere else in the town or zoning. I can tell you right now, I can think of dozens of parcels that fit solar development within phase 3 on land that's marginal that isn't listed for R3.
So I do just want to correct the understanding. It's not just any phase 3 power. We have two approved utility applications for this exact location on three-phase power. If you go a mile down the road, you go out the other three-phase, you're probably not going to get the same capacity, regardless of our application.
Okay.
It is very specific to its location. We found kind of a Goldilocks scenario where we're able to be this much capacity on the three-phase and be the substation.
What I'm hearing John say is we don't want solar to be the tail of the wagon. And I get that you're a solar developer and you're private, but to me, I saw this as the beginnings of a PUD potentially, because quantitatively, yes, there's a large area that's dedicated to solar use, but qualitatively, the best part of this site is in the community garden and future development area.
Yes.
From a qualitative point of view. And that's where I want to see, from my perspective as a planner, I want to see some really innovative, cutting-edge integration of uses here that is responsive to the future needs of this community and the population we're trying to serve. That's what I want to see in that area. I want to get excited about it.
Right.
And there's a number of things that can be done out there. In this room, I spoke with your CEO, is it? Or
and myself.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about the idea of what about an agricultural training center here where people can come and learn about agriculture either as on a weekend or they can come for semester stay and they become students and you maybe have some housing for them, you know, and this becomes a, you know, a training center for innovative agricultural practices, you know. That's the type of thing I want to start seeing here that gets my juices flowing. And in the execution of that use, housing that is innovative in its approach to construction and affordability and all all those things that are challenging the new housing market now. People are being driven away from single-family home ownership and into apartments because they can't afford anything else. I read today in the paper that the average median price for a home in Saratoga County is $450,000 for a new home. $500,000!
That's the median.
Yeah, not average. That's still a shocking number.
So, and the thing is what you just said, there was a part where you were like right there. This particular parcel lends itself to a beauty.
Yes,
because it's
the
potential
residential
entertainment on a state highway with good.
This can be destination style
business use. There was another one, the 995 up by the river. Or up north of here, the 995-acre Finch Prime property. All right, right on the river. That was like, oh my God, this one just shouts beauty, just because of that section. Okay, so I guess to just leapfrog on to what Jim's saying is if I'm gonna like see this as a PUD that includes solar, I want to see it as a PUD that includes solar, not a solar development that's trying to get by with a PUD. You can do that. There's ways to do it. I like your ideas as far as the use of the future development. I think there's even more expansion you can go there. I don't really know that I see it as agriculture. It could be. Anybody can farm that field. I just don't know that that's going to be the best use for a parcel that's on a state highway with a residential and entertainment, you know, okay on it. Not every parcel can be that. So that would be my...
I like where you're going with it.
It's better than we had the last time.
But my answer to that, and this was discussed when they were here in this room, is the idea that what's grown on this site then can be sold on this site. You know,
it's different right now. They're talking
about.
And then
you have an agricultural market center, and not just stuff necessarily sold from this site. It can be imported from other parts of the town and marketed here.
I greatly appreciate all this feedback. It's exactly what I asked for, but I also just want to set expectations. This property was vacant for many years before we purchased it. Since that time, it's also sat vacant. All those uses could have been proposed in the meantime. We found these marketable.
We get this all the time from people. Well, I tried to sell it for some other use and it didn't sell, so I should be allowed to use it for this. Property sits for sale for a reason. It sat vacant for a number of years because of situations with their banking situation and things like that. They couldn't do anything with it. Then it came
up. Trust owned this for a long time.
Yeah, the bank owned it. All right. And then it went up for sale. And to be honest with you, I mean, I could take my place and it's 152 acres, it's appraised for, let's say, $700,000. I could say, well, I'm going to put it up for sale and I've tried for 5 years to sell it for $8 million and it didn't sell. You need to let me put a whole bunch of houses on it because. So there's a lot to it, all right? I was happy when you proposed a development on this. I'm trying to make sure that we're not taking a really nice site, and there's a name for these kind of sites, and I can't, it's not uniform, it's defined at the moment, okay? But taking a site like this, and if you're going to do it, you just want to do it right. So I'm okay with it. You guys look like guys that can do it right. You really do. It's just a matter of, and in the end, you know, I'm not developing, I don't have any money, so it's none of my business. Okay? All you're asking us is you're asking us to look at it and make recommendations. I just wanted you were really getting in the nuts and bolts, and we will get there with site plan eventually.
That's helpful to understand.
But at the moment we're looking at.
But you need to get there to a certain degree with my point because you have to ultimately end up with a district use table.
Exactly. So
I appreciate all that feedback. All I was saying with the point about it sitting vacant is whatever we choose and present here needs to be marketable. And what we presented tonight, we have partners that we feel that it is. So that's why we chose what it is, and maybe the way we presented it was solar.
Well, and the only thing I would point out for your consideration in that regard is something that really is truly innovative, and in the vein of what I'm talking about, will be marketable, because there will be nothing else like that around. Another example is senior housing. There's really no active senior community You know, think of a place where you can live it on retirement and people can practice a hobby and undertake their craft or do pottery or woodworking or something like that right on the site. Instead of just plunking all people into a, you know, a new home somewhere and here's what you pay in rent or here's your mortgage. You know, something in it, you know, they can have community gardens that they can go out and garden. You know, just there's so many things that can be brought to life here. We just got to be doing it better.
And even in the idea of the campgrounds, we have probably hundreds of residents that have big old campers sitting inside their 1 acre house lot that go to Florida every year for 6 months. So along with Jim's idea, you could have a senior campus site or a senior residential area where they can park when they're up for the summer. Then their houses become part of the market for young couples that need a house with 3 bedrooms. But those places require amenities. It isn't just a trailer park.
I shared this before. I don't know if you guys ever saw the guy who's poking around here with a luxury RV site. You should have seen that site in Michigan.
Right. I know.
It's totally contrived, built ponds, but it had an on-site theater. Just the grounds were gorgeous, on-site store, just beautifully executed, very well done.
I was just in Florida next one of those. You have to look down and see people come go down in the winter, tow down, you know, they have all their amenities and whatnot, and they tow back in the spring or summer, whatever they do, but it's pretty cool.
And they have a community center and a store, right, and it's all.
Is that on site gear? They have on site entertainment?
Yes.
So I'm hearing campground, residential, and community garden.
A large residential component. And I agree with Jim, be innovative, because this is what everybody sees. And, you know, what this town needs is some different levels of affordable, age in place, you know, housing. You know, not $450,000, you know, subdivisions. It's, you know, and this, you know, as a PUD, if you marketed it right, if you designed it right, you'd probably make as much money on that part of it as you would the other.
So I'm hearing you add detail to this.
Well, no, here's the thing.
If you're going to ask the town to write you a special code, make it special. Make it worth it. All right?
Yeah.
Right now, you're doing it because you've got this one picture in your mind of I want to do this solar development. Fine. Okay, good. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? But make it worth the PUD. All right? Instead of what we have right now is we've got our solar development that we really want. We've got that one. It's even spelled right out on solar development. Okay? But then over here we have, well, we have a future development area for these other vague things that might make it a PUD. And our community aspect, which is our community garden. Okay, I remember one of the letters or emails that came out, there was a job component because there were going to be landscapers and mowing around the panel. See, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it a PUD. Well, the best way to do that is make it a good one.
So I appreciate the feedback. The primary uses that you were just discussing are exactly what we're proposing. What I'm hearing is that we need to add more detail to build them out to the level that you are expressing interest.
Commitment to it. You know,
but the uses, though, are consistent with what we were just talking about.
I hope we're discouraging. I think this was a vastly different application than the first one, and
yes.
Vastly improved.
Yes.
You're on the right vein here, and I'm trying to give you, at least from my perspective as a town planner, here's what, you know, when the comprehensive plan said PUD for this site, that's what these are the types of things we're talking about. This is one of the more special pieces of property in this entire town.
And I appreciate that, and I think that we can do that. And this discouraging, or somewhat discouraging, was to hear this may not qualify as a PUD. And I think to the level of detail that you're looking for, that's where I'm seeing you get hung up, not necessarily the uses we're proposing. Those sound consistent when we're talking.
From a zoning administrator standpoint and a planner, you meet the threshold. You know, the bare basic threshold. But now there's a lot more meat that needs to be put on the ball here in the skill.
I've heard a lot of it.
Because here's so you understand the perspective I see is I see where your solar's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see some other proposed uses for other spots that there's nothing that says this is ever going to happen. And you look like reasonably honest people. but it wouldn't surprise me if we went ahead with that proposal and we ended up with a solar installation and nothing else ever got done, which is what we don't want to see. What we want to see is we want to see you have something dynamic, something worthy of the special treatment of PUD is. PUD is not just a way to get around zoning. PUD is, we have a unique idea that doesn't fit any of your zoning, but it's so awesome that the town board says, we want this here. We are going to find a way to change our code and make it work. So otherwise, we don't have to do that. And you have uses you can use this property for that don't include solar right now. Okay? You do. You may not want to do that. But it already qualifies. It actually has more expanded use than any of the other R3 areas right now as it sits. Okay? So the question is, for me at least, is for you to show us why your plan, including the solar, is a good plan. Right?
So I just wanted to correct our intent of that future development area was to counteract exactly what you just said. It's sitting vacant. And one of those reasons was making sure that we can get investment and make it marketable for the uses. Those four we proposed were ones we had immediate interest in. The ag was a backup because, as you pointed out, well, I don't know if you actually pointed this out, you can always do ag on an open field like that. It may not be the best, but it is a use that could be done. I think the other ones take priority for us. I would like to add more detail to these areas. I think that all this feedback was great. I'd love to hear if the other board members have more, because I would like to develop this plan further. I don't think our uses are necessarily going to change. I heard those in line with what you might see here, maybe with the exception of entertainment. I think we can add some more detail and reimagine some of those areas and boundaries to make this more presentable and in line with your comments.
You said entertainment. I can tell you right now that if you go with the R3 zone, okay, that's not going to do a campground. It's not going to do a campground with a pavilion or a what they call a hall, community hall. Right? Those are things that don't fit into the residential zoning. Right? It does fit into a PUD. So you're saying that I don't see an entertainment thing. I'm not talking about a fun park. That's not what necessarily what the entertainment means, but there's things that aren't necessarily fitting into a residential thing that would fit into a PUD.
And that would be our intent.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And all of that detail that you mentioned would have been included in the future use. I would love the opportunity to do that, and this feedback is exactly what I was looking for. I just didn't want to be disqualified on accounting as
well. No, in some ways, I think there's an advantage to the approach you've taken because we can evolve this PUD together rather than you guys coming in here with a highly dictated, very rigid plan. And that in some ways could be worse as well. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility in here. There's a lot of options here to consider. And we can kind of work through this together.
I agree with that, Chief.
We're invested in this property, and the reason I'm here tonight is to get your feedback. It's part of our application process. But I also want to make sure that this is successful. We're committed to developing this property. I realize there's some things that you mentioned that need some work, and we're happy to improve on those and add more detail.
I have one last
question.
Please. That is, how does this solar development promote the interests of this town? As opposed to sustainability in the energy sector, which I'm all in favor of. Why is that good for our town?
Well, the solar aspect can be taken advantage of by any of the community members. I don't know if they'll personally choose that. I would like to think that they would. But all those members of the community of Monroe, they would be allowed to sign up for the power of that array. I personally think that gives those residents a sense of pride in where their energy is coming from. Now, I know that's debatable, and maybe we don't get 1,500 residents in the town of Monroe to sign up. That power still goes to the local electric grid. It still provides relief to the local infrastructure. So I think it's a benefit of the town, also a testament to sustainability. I see the solar panels out in front of Town Hall. I remember when those got planned, went out to RFP. I personally feel the town is committed to solar. I know that there's a lot of opposition in the solar law where these should be sited, and they're limited. This is an area that we felt was good from an electrical infrastructure standpoint, but also one that can get out of view a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I do understand that. And also, as John, right, there's some support of solar power and other alternative energy sources. But when we look at the PUD, one of the primary considerations is how does that promote the general welfare and interests of the town, as opposed to, again, with water, environmental concerns.
So I think the benefit of the clean energy going into the grid and taking away from the normal combustion-based energy source would be a health benefit. But in addition to that, in this particular proposal, one of the things in the recreation master plan was proposing a funding source for that community garden. And I realize any of that doesn't come through. But part of that funding source was a fee from developer, a recreation fee from a developer for projects like this. So I think there'd be an economic benefit to the town, which also supports well-being in a way, in my opinion. And all these uses, I would want to find a way to participate in that solar project. I think we have a lot of detail to show.
Just an example. You can go on Tesla's website right now, and you can click through their links, and you can get to a... And they have a residential roof shingle product that is a solar product.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be something if every house in this community had that solar shingle?
So that
I understand the cost, but there's ways that can be compensated for.
Sure.
But wouldn't that be... That's the type of innovation, you know, that I like to see. And that, you know.
So I'm happy to look at that. But to speak to your point about the community benefit, what if there's 1,500 residents in the town of Moreau that would love to have a Tesla roof for the fact that they want solar panels in their house? This provides a cost-effective alternative for them to participate in green energy without any of the upfront cost. So okay, there is no.
But those same subscribers, which is what it is, they're not buying your electricity.
Correct, they're subscribing
to
the
electricity that they would like to support green energy. Those same subscribers could buy that same energy from a site somewhere else where it's approved and in a lot of zone use. I mean, at one point in time, I was paying an extra 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity on my farm to support green energy through National Grid. I never thought I was buying energy straight from a solar panel or a hydroelectric dam. I knew that I was just paying a higher fee to support green energy. I don't do it now because they dropped the program. But the thing is your subscribers are not necessarily people who live in the community around it, and it's saving them from firing up their gas generators, you know, and polluting the air, or them buying from a local coal fire plant. Okay? It's just electricity coming off the grid. So they're supporting your input to that grid. And I commend you for it. I think it's a great activity. All right, but to Ann's question, why a PUD on this site for that purpose and why that's a community benefit?
I felt I described that. If you don't think that's an adequate answer, we further add that solar to whatever use that ultimately gets detailed out here. So, for instance, there is a way to power those RV campgrounds with the solar energy, or to power the homes that get built there with the solar energy. And just I want to correct something about purchasing power from a facility, supporting it versus purchasing the energy. You're purchasing a credit that's generated directly by that facility.
Yeah.
So there is a local component to that. And I would think that a resident, if they're going to participate in a program, would rather see and know where the credit is being generated from than a neighboring town. That's my opinion. But I think they would take pride in knowing, hey, I got my credit on my electric account from that array over there.
I would ask that as you go through this process, that you consider that look to our seeing a compatible and unified plan to draw up diverse activities or functions together. And again, I think it's kind of like the solar power just there in an extra plan. I don't see an integrated, compatible plan for these diverse uses. And our PUD regulations also, as Aaron pointed out, were specifically to encourage innovation in residential development. Most half of this property you're talking about, more than half, is not residential development. So, anyway, that's my last question.
Yeah, and by acreage, that's definitely true. By usable acreage, I think we're getting closer. You know, there is a large portion that's unusable. But I also want to make sure I'm not just grasping at straws here. Would you consider the solar development area powering the community a benefit to what you're describing, the connectivity between the solar and the residential, if that were to be what's detailed out, or the campground for that matter?
Not sure I have that.
You'd have to
provide more detail.
I'd be intrigued by that. Because to me, having worked on housing costs, it's not just about the mortgage. The practical housing cost in upstate New York to the homeowner is the mortgage and your energy costs. Let's be honest. So considering that in total, is that something that makes this housing more affordable? You know, and can buy down that cost and get that into an affordability range for the median income that's available in Moreau, that I would begin to be intrigued by. But I'd like to see that analysis and see how that all works out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, dictate ideas, but going back to what Jim said before about animated and innovation houses and all that, you know, with community solar, you can tie the community solar to the residential. You know, you can make it, you know, you're the developer. They can be pre-subscribed. And that discount, you know, you can discount the power to those homes, you know, which are made energy efficient and all that.
Right.
And then it ties together. You know, and then your solar is tied directly to your residential.
See, I think this has got to be shown as...
But it's got to be fleshed out.
The solar element is in support of the rest of the project, which is this valuable, integrated, like Ann said, you know, meeting the needs of this community.
So I think you can probably see that it's going to be more complicated than just a solar engineering project.
We always knew that going into this.
Like I said earlier, I will commend you for taking into consideration the B section you had before being a lot right there. And repurposing things.
Now, in terms of the next steps, I think I would suspect you'd like an opportunity to go back and provide that greater detail, because this board is required to have a public hearing on this before it makes a recommendation back to the town board, but I don't think we're there yet in terms of a complete application, so to speak.
I would ask the board, if you're open to it, if you would allow us the opportunity to revise the submission for your consideration before you hold a public hearing and before you make a recommendation to the board. Because given your feedback tonight, I think that the uses we proposed are on the right track. That's what we need. We need to add more detail to show the innovation and connectivity between those uses.
It would be a good idea to have, to be able to prove commitment to it. Okay?
Can you start that?
Meaning, don't just draw a pretty picture. Okay? Be committed to have who the builder will be or who is looking at it. Have perspectives as far as what the potential build-out is on things. That kind of stuff.
Well, what's also, if you're, and I know you guys have read the regulations out a couple times, because you think this is a couple times. I mean, there is reference to financial wherewithal. And that would be, I think, speaking to John's point, you know, demonstration of commitment. This is real. This is well thought through. As was indicated earlier, this is not going to be just solar panels in phase one, and phase two will be at a point in time in the future when, you know, we can build the residential or the commercial or whatever the other aspects of this is. So I think having that demonstration of financial capability and capacity to execute this needs to be demonstrated as well. And so real analysis, real terms.
That and the fact that we can all, as a board, I think I can speak for us, we can look at your proposal for the solar installation, and we are comfortable with that, and you guys really want to do that. You're ready to do that. You're ready to do the solar. You're ready to put it in. You could have probably plans in front of us next month if we told you we'd like, you know, we wanted you to go ahead. I'm not so sure I feel that confident about the rest of it. And when it becomes a PUD, it becomes a complete whole project. It's not just, you know, segmented, well, this is where we set aside for future this or this. I mean, it's a whole procedure, right? When you're asking the town to rewrite the code for this project, it's for the whole project, not just, you know, an idea of a project.
Maybe you want to bring on a partner. Maybe there's a...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Is it a residential partner or some sort of a, you know, a development entity that is well suited to this that, you know, you can, I don't know.
So I know you don't have the time to be in front of the town so far for similar projects like this. We have partners identified. You know, I would like to bring them on for committed, but I want a little more sense of where the direction we're heading in. And I would like to propose some uses to get more feedback as part of that.
This is not meant to be an easy or quick process. I think it needs to be something that's incremental and well thought out. And to do so, it takes time and sometimes multiple steps.
So our first application was in 2019. I'm back again, and I'll be here continuing to present this project. Like I said, I'm committed to the partial. We want to see it work, and I really appreciate all the feedback that I got tonight.
Well, I can say that this particular process, I would probably be beating up with you, or beating up on you just as much, if you came in and proposed a standard R3 housing development. It is a unique property for you all. Congratulations. I know it's hard to believe because you're sitting on it. It's not doing anything. It is a unique project or property that could be amazing. Right, so why not? If you're going to ask the town to make it special, make it special. Make it worth that designation. Right?
Understood. We have got a lot of useful information like to do just that.
So do you want to be on the agenda next month, or would you like time to reflect on it and decide later, or you can wait for, 2 weeks or 10 days before he has to give it?
I think that they should go along. You understand the submission date for the first Monday of every month. I wouldn't rush it, but on the other hand, if you're ready, you know, bring in your submission and we'll get it back on the agenda before the board and see what the next iteration looks like.
I was going to say, I wasn't rushing, but I was just asking you, or letting you know that you have time. I was asking for the.
Yeah, because there is no time frame on it. The only time frame reference is after the public hearing closes. The board has 60 days to make their report to the town board, but you can take it quicker, as much time as you need.
And I want to make sure that every time we come back, it's affected, so I don't want to sort of commit to the next meeting. I would love it if we're in a position to do that, but I think for me, in order to get that level of detail, I want to understand what uses we want to stick and continue with.
Well, if you got any sense from the prior applicants on the agenda, we do things at a certain pace.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to say this, okay? I've been on the board here for way too many years, okay? And I've enjoyed it, all right? If you come in front of the board with a project that fits the zoning, you have your details, you have your ducks in a row, we make suggestions, and you don't go, you know, no, I want to do this thing over here, okay? The process goes fast. I know people get mad at certain developers that seem to just breeze through, and they're all pretty sure that we're getting a big fat check from them under the table. I have yet to put anything in the bank from them, but they come in, and they're allowed 159 units, and they propose 138. They don't propose 172 and try to talk their way into it. They, if you ask a suggestion, can we move this here? Of course, yeah, that'll work out better than they... The more that you work with us, the faster the process goes. But you don't have to do what we want. This is your project. So if you have this in your mind and this is what you want to do, you can do that. It just may take a lot longer and you may not get what you want. All right. So it is a process, and we really are trying to make something awesome with you guys.
I appreciate that.
But in the end, we don't have a dime invested in it, so all the decisions fall into you.
Yeah, and I hope you can understand that we do, you know, been investing this for a while, and I want to see it through, so we're going to make some modifications and come back.
Very good.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else for you,
Ken? Two things. Number one is, and I just want to do this quickly, I wanted everybody to kind of have this in mind, in light of the Michaels Group Winterberry Estates situation with stormwater. All right, and the fact that residents are doing things on their property that they have every right to do, and it's trying not to mess up the property stormwater plan. That I think as a board we just need to be thinking about in the future when developments come in front of us, whether we want to insist on all stormwater being handled on HOA-owned property or the developers having to put some kind of deed restriction in that tells the property owner they can't do things. I noticed that with the gentleman that was here from Michael's group, he didn't want to do either of those things, really. He what you really want to do is leave it up to the building inspector to look at the subdivision plans and go, I can't give you a permit because the developer decided that parcel in the back that you own can't be developed that way. Well, that's all well and good because it makes the developer happy because he can still get just as many houses in because he doesn't lose anything for stormwater. Or he doesn't have to put a deed restriction in that might limit the value of the lot that he's selling because people don't like to own land, they can't do anything. Okay? So it's something I thought we should think about. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was we left at the May 12th meeting in an effort for us to give to Jim a list of items that we might consider wanting to have a private consultant look at. All right, and after the meeting I thought about it and I think that's something that we should compile a list and then talk about as a panel what we would like going forward, not just all of us throwing a list at him and then he's supposed to just take everything each one of us individually wants.
So that might work out pretty well because we do have another meeting June 6th. So
well, that's why I said, I accidentally said June 6th.
If you get your stuff to me by the agreed upon date, which was the Friday before Memorial Day, we would then have it obviously for that June 6th meeting and you can discuss it then. And I won't do anything with it except compile the list and then share it with everybody and you guys can talk about it if you want.
Yeah, I said that's the way we do it. I thought if we had ideas, we'd all send them.
Yes. Yeah, when you send it, just don't send it my email. Just send it to everybody.
Yeah.
And that way it'll just make it that much more fast.
Look at it and think about it.
So where are we going with the Winterberry thing? Are we going to come back to us?
Well, the Winterberry thing, the only thing that's actually come in front of us was the pool garden fence that blocked stormwater that ended up with a dry well, and we've already rectified that, but it's one of those where we're just waiting for the next one, okay? And I actually just happened to run in there one day with my son after some kind of practice or whatever. I said, hey, let's hop into Winterberry and see. I wanted to see the people that were, you know, moving a whole bunch of land from their backyard over towards the park and all. I pull in, and as I pull in, the third house on the right's got a tri-axle truck and an excavator in there removing the backyard behind the trailer park. Now, I'm assuming they probably put like some kind of a stone barrier thing with a fence so they didn't have to look at the trailers, because otherwise it seemed kind of stupid to take all the trees out of their backyard so they could look at the back of the trailers in Bluebird Terrace trailer park. But I immediately called Jim and said, anybody got a permit on this one? Because they were hauling truckloads of sand out there. Okay? So it's continuing. It isn't just one-off deal. These people are paying $430,000 for their house, and now they want to turn their backyard into an outdoor living room. And they have the money to call big, heavy equipment in and start moving tons of dirt in and out and making changes. And a lot of it is in Michael's group's stormwater plan.
So he has to get final approval for his subdivision, and the stormwater plan that we adopted to tell him it was okay to go to the subdivision is gone with the wind.
Well, and the problem
is that's not what's going to happen. But John's right; it makes it more difficult. It's going to have to come back to this board for approval of the change. But these things are happening. It's hard when elements of the stormwater plan exist on people's private property.
Right.
These people have bought these lots. It's their property. And in this instance, the woman wanted to put a swimming pool in on her property, which is normally fine. But when she did that, it regraded the stormwater plan.
I get that.
I don't know. So putting the stormwater into HOA property necessarily protects it based on my own experience in my neighborhood. People don't really care if their backyard looks like woods.
Right.
Well, you have a better chance of that than if you do it with a deed restriction, because deed restrictions are going to be.
What's going on with parcels?
Right. It's.
But HOA is also an additional expense.
Yeah, but at least it's a separate property.
And somebody has to enforce it through the HOA, which.
Well, in your case, the HOA never got formed.
I know. It's a mess.
It is a mess.
All right, so let's talk about another one here on Route 9, the mobile home place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very highly populated, isn't it?
Well, it is that, but we approved that with hooking up the water.
They haven't hooked up to the water yet?
The town board told them that they didn't have to under the recommendation of Mike Mooney.
Why?
Because who knows why?
Which development is that?
That's
the
Peaceful Valley.
The mobile home sales thing across from
right.
The EMS.
So in that case, the town board actually overruled us guys saying that, we said...
I don't think the town board can overrule a site plan. They can tell the enforcement officer not to enforce it.
They told the guy he did not have to put his water in, and they gave him his money back. Because apparently it was too expensive to put the water in across the street instead of the town water department just going out and doing it. But that's what they did. I was at the town board meeting. I've addressed it with Jim. Jim's apparently addressed it with Carla, and it's falling on deaf ears. And I don't like it. I don't like it. If we sit here and say, you got a hook to the water, that's part of the thing that we're approval.
And as long as what we're asking for is a legal thing for us to ask for, which that is.
He was in the water district.
Right.
How can the town?
He's feeding water from one lot to another for a business. That is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, if I was at the
town. So where is he feeding water from?
From the lot next door. You know, across from your favorite used car lot?
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know where the place is?
It's across from
the car. And the guy in the back of the garage is feeding him water.
We got him sold. The release system sold.
Okay, so how is that even legal?
It's not.
Health wise. To be running from one person's water system to another.
You know, that's okay if you got an emergency or something, but it's being allowed, so you can use water. And I think it needs to be addressed. It's just.
So that issue is what can the town board do after a site plan is approved?
Right.
The conditions.
They overrule what we said.
Was Carla there?
Yeah. Jim has given it to Carla. And it's been a couple months. They just haven't had a chance to bring it to the board.
Let me be clear though. The applicant was okay with our requirement that he hook up to the water to get approval.
Correct.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
Correct.
Which he okay,
that was
signed.
That was a caveat on the site plan.
Right, so that is a binding part of the site plan.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
And then, so, Jim, we're talking about the mobile home place where the town board said the guy didn't have to hook up the water when we said that he had to. Where do we stand with that?
My understanding from Carl is that's it. That's done.
So the town board can override a legal action by the planning board.
Yes. Apparently.
That's what we're just asking for your professional opinion on that, Jim. You want to go on the record? Just so you know, before you give an answer, the recording is still going on because I have yet to adjourn the meeting.
That's right.
So
I've rarely seen that happen, let's put it that way. I don't understand why he was given permission to not have to do that.
I can tell you from now on, we're going to have a letter on file from the superintendent that says yes or no. Because when we approve something and then the town board overrule it, I think it's wrong. And I want that on the record, so...
It is. It's on the recording.
Yeah,
right now.
Well, that's good. That's good, and it should be.
And I think
because we are the planning board, they are the town board. You know?
I mean, we try to follow through with, Matt and myself as the co-enforcement officer and the zoning administrator to make sure the condition was fulfilled. I thought we were very close at one point. The pandemic, doesn't help anything.
Correct.
But that said, I thought we were getting close, and then all of a sudden I get word back that he's been released.
Who's been released?
And his money refunded?
Yes.
He was released from his requirement or obligation to tie up water and he refunded his money that he's trying to pay for.
I don't have any more explanation than that.
Can we close the public hearing?
Pardon?
Can we close the public hearing? Can we close our meeting? Adjourn?
Yes.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. I submitted two meeting minutes. One was hard copy and the other one was electronic. It was electronic because it was 67 pages.
Oh, thank you.
So,
thanks for not
doing it. A tree hugger.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say I saw the minutes and thought it was the electronic version, but I already had a paper copy of it, so I never even looked at it.
That's okay. Do you want me to print them out?
No, wow. Kill a tree.
No, we're okay with that.
I started reading. I haven't finished. I think sometimes you confuse me with Meredith.
Okay, that's
okay. So there are a couple places where I just kind of.
67 pages, it must be a lot of me.
So what's the
motion adjourned.
Second
for Mike. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
One more quick question, Jeff. I know town emails have been discussed here before.
Yes.
Something now on email. Because I've been doing a lot of searching, you know, like, I'm creating my Yahoo email.